I am Christy Grainer, and welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. And I'm blessed today to be talking with Bray and Jill Wyckoff, some dear friends of mine and Gary's that we have known. I have known for sure since 2014, we decided it was. We went on a mission trip to the Philippines together. That was with Paul Rapley, and you know, that was just CMC, what does that stand for? Church Multiplication
Coalition.
Awesome people.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And we did crusades, and that was just great stuff, wasn't it?
Healing. It was wonderful. I think we had over like 10,000 healings or salvations. It was amazing.
It was amazing. So since then, when we went on that trip, you guys were doing the Greater News Network.
Yeah.
And tell them about that. Tell people about that.
We were reporting on miracles happening all around the world. So we had seen miracles happen, you know, under, you know, our ministry and going out with the Philippines. But we'd seen no one reporting it on the news and stuff. So we decided to take it in our own hands and start being that news start building testimonies. And so we had 1,500 testimonies gathered, and from raising the dead to a headache being healed. So
yeah,
the whole gamut.
That's really fun stuff. Yeah. And that's still out on the internet.
Yeah, you can go. It's on Facebook now. So we have the page called The Greater News. Mm-hmm. And we have about 40,000 people on there.
But God's moved you on to other things as well.
Big time.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I started writing my books professionally in 2012, and in 2015, I had received a prophetic word from Sean Bolz in September, and then October, Bray, God has seen you write your books, and they've been like your lion and bear moments. But you're going to be moving. He's going to move you into mainstream marketing.
Oh, and so to couch that, you don't know Sean Bolz.
No.
So
no.
Tell about that, because that's kind of fun.
We were actually supposed to be there at the. He was speaking at a local church, and we were planning to go because we had seen how prophetic he's been, like just calling out phone numbers and addresses, which he did that evening with several people that we know. And including us, we weren't there because we had a worship breakout kind of happen at our church. So,
we stayed
for the worship, and then we came home and we started getting phone calls and text messages. Our phones just started blowing up at like 10 o'clock at night and saying, "Oh my God, you're getting a word from Sean Bolz," and they're sending us the recordings. And we were just like, we were in tears. Just
so, how did you know it was for you?
He called out our names.
He said,
"Is there a Bray?" Or he said, like, "La Brea, or Bray," or something like that. And everyone in the audience knew who we were. And
yeah, because so Bray like, isn't your
yeah.
typical
and
name.
Like, that's
B-R-A-E is your given name.
And his wife, Jill.
And everyone's like, "Yes."
And something to do with and dragons then, or
yeah,
vampires.
He's like, "The vampires." And so I just released my third book, The Vampire King.
Uh-huh.
And then he went and said, "Is their daughters?"
Their daughters are with miracles.
Are with miracles.
And they were both pregnant at the time.
Yeah. Oh.
And then they said, "Michelle and Brittany."
He said, "Michelle."
The names of our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was wild.
So there was no doubt this word was for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of the confirmation was so strong. You're like, "Okay, Lord, I'm listening. I'm hearing you." So I'm still walking that prophetic word out, and we actually got another prophetic word from him 2 years later when we were there, and he called us both out. And is there somebody here with a special date of like 12, a birthday maybe, 12/11? And that's our anniversary date, and so no one else. And
yeah,
he said, "Is there a Jill?"
I think he said, "There's a Jill.
Jill
with 12/11
birthday,"
and I'm like, "Well, it's my anniversary.
Birthday.
It's not my birthday."
And he's like,
it was for us.
Yeah. So that was pretty crazy. Another prophetic word there. But so 2015, I was invited after that to speak at a conference for a writer's workshop. And it was my first time doing a writer's workshop, so I was really excited. I thought I kind of made it. I was like, wow, I'm all that in a bag of chips now. I'm like, you know, getting invited to do these things. And so I'm sitting in there, a smaller room that they put us in, and it had like 30 people. People were sitting on the floors, a lot of people there. I was like, wow, people are hungry to write. And so I'm talking about writing, and I just looked out in the audience, and everybody's head was kind of turned sideways. They're looking at me kind of, their foreheads are wrinkled, and like they didn't understand what I was saying. I was talking about C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and just talking about the writing process. And then I just was looking at them like, this is not good, the way they're looking at me. And I'm like, the Lord kind of spoke to me then, and he said, ask them who's currently writing right now. And I stopped and said, okay, raise a hand, who's writing? And like nobody raised their hands. Maybe one or two people did the half gesture, like, kind of. And I'm like, wait, you guys are in a writing workshop. Why? Nobody's writing? And everyone kind of chuckled, ha, 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 you know. And then the Lord said, now ask them who's had a prophetic word or an encouraging word about writing. And I asked that, and everybody's hands shot up. Mm. And that's when the Lord said, my writers don't have a shepherd.
Oh, my.
And so I was like, oh, God, what do I do with that? So I was praying the next, that was October, and I was kind of praying, and December of that year, it's 2015, I heard the audible voice of the Lord in my office, and it's kind of like when you're coming out of a dream and you're out of sleep and somebody's talking to you, and you're halfway out, but you're like, you know,
you can almost pay attention, yeah, but like, not quite.
So pray, you know, gather my scribes and give me room to speak to them. And so that was
gather
the call.
My scribes and give me room to speak to them.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he just talked about, you know, having a shepherdless writers. And now I felt like it was time to step into this calling.
And that was what year now?
That was the end of 2015, December.
Okay.
So January, I did the best thing I knew how, because the Lord wasn't telling me how to do this. I just put it on Facebook. Who wants to join me to talk about writing? And we had 5 people show up. And Jill and I were 2 of those 5, so we had 3 other people. And I felt like it was really cool, because I felt like it was that Elijah moment, like the small cloud in the sky. The rain of writers is coming. And so we started meeting every month. And the next month we had 10 people. And the next month we had 15. And then it went to 20 and 30 and 40. It just kept going. We had a conference in July of that year with William Paul Young, author of The Shack, and we were also speaking, and just kind of just really set something in motion, like a huge rock in the water sending out those ripples in San Diego. And and then that's when we launched Kingdom Writers Association, because people were asking, what is this that's happening? And we're like, I don't know, we're just gathering, and there's a bunch of crazy
God's
writers writing, and and people wanted a name to it. And we had called the conference Kingdom Writers Conference, not Christian Writers Conference, because that kingdom word was very important, and the Lord was kind of directing us to do that, not call it Christian. And over the years now, we've seen why, because the word Christian has been very muddied. We've got a lot of mixture in there. When people say, I'm a Christian writer, I'm like, you're going to have to tell me what that means. Because I don't know what that means. You're going to have to explain to me, what is that Christian word do you mean? But if we start saying kingdom, it's very focused. It's very, you know, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a kingdom writer, not just a Christian writer.
Yeah.
And so that's how it started.
And Jill was offhandedly mentioning to us why it is very unlikely that you are the person that the Lord chose to head this up.
Yes, I failed English. Yeah. So the Lord would have a person, yeah, leading the International Writing Organization that failed English. That, yeah, would be our God.
So you never saw yourself as a writer?
No, I mean, in 10th grade, I wanted to tell stories, because I won a short story contest in my English class, even though I failed it. And my English teacher said Bray won, not because of content, because I wrote a horrible horror story, but it was the storytelling. And she said that's why he won the story.
Interesting.
And so that was when I received it. And I was an atheist back then. I didn't believe in God. And so I received it that I'm a storyteller, and that's what I wanted to do when I grew up. And so I was really trying to fight for that storytelling for many, many years until I met the Lord.
And how did you meet the Lord? gotta get a good story.
That's
in
a
here.
Good story.
Jill, you say that one. You tell it way better than I do.
No. I have to kind of preface with my story so you have a little bit of context here. So I was raised by a Jewish mother, and I was raised as a Christian Scientist. So I always knew something was missing but didn't know what until I went to an Amway convention and heard the gospel message for the first time on a Sunday.
At Amway.
Mm-hmm. And I went, that's what's missing. But I didn't really know what I was supposed to do with it. I just knew that was what was missing. And fast forward years and years and years later, now our children are teenagers, and I think we should do something. We should go to church. I think it's the good thing to do for children, you know, for teens.
That sounds like a good Jewish mother. Well, it's a good thing to do.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing, right? And so we did. And so the kids and I started to go to church. And Bray went a couple of times, right? And now I'm
just
starting
to see what kind of cult they were involved in.
Right. He wanted to see what cult we were involved in. And I started to understand it. I really got, this is what this is now. So now I'm getting it. So now I'm getting the language. I didn't know what a sanctuary was. I've never heard the word fellowship. I didn't know, you know, these words, you know, altar
the
call.
Words.
What's an altar call? I didn't know any of this stuff. So I start to learn things, and I rededicate my life, and the children are now getting saved. And we're getting excited, and that's like November, December. And on January 1, I'm asking Bray, what's your New Year's resolution?
It was New Year's Eve.
It was New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm never going to church again. And I said, that's not a New Year's resolution.
It's my resolution.
And he said, it's mine. And
and I think I can keep this one.
And he thought he could keep it. God knew differently.
So in March of that year, I went to go see the girl. The girls told me, our daughter said that their youth pastor was speaking in front of the church. And I didn't think that he spoke very eloquently. So for whatever reason, I felt like I should go there and see this train wreck. That's the only reason why I went. And, you know, that was the Lord just setting me up. So
yeah.
I went there in March.
Can you just see the Lord going, let's
chuckle. And he said the most amazing opening line that really captured me. And he said, have you ever wanted to see God? And that's how we started it. And he spoke so brilliantly the whole time. And I was just captivated by what he was saying. And I think because when he said, have you ever wanted to see God? Deep down inside, I said, yes. And are you going to show me? And when I said yes, I feel like that was the crack, just enough for the Holy Spirit to get in there and get me that day. Because it's not like I hadn't been to church and heard, you know, messages and whatnot. But I don't know, there was something very, very unique about that day. And I think it's because I had that simple yes. Are you going to tell me about God? And that's why I relate so well to the thief on the cross. Because all he said was, remember me. When I'm in hell, remember me when you're up there. And then the Lord said, just because of that recognition, that was it. And so I think just because I gave that yes, recognizing, yeah, I want to know how I can see this God. And that's how it all started. So
that's so good. And the rest is history.
Yeah.
And what year was that, do you think? That was 2000?
Yep.
2000. I went to bed that night praying it would stick.
Yep.
And that young man came to our home that night and met with Bray, and they talked.
We talked all night.
I woke up the next morning. They were still sitting on the couch.
Seriously.
Talking.
I had a lot of questions.
This guy that you thought couldn't communicate.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about the Bible and had a lot of questions about it. So.
Wow.
Because I really, once I'm all in, I'm just like, I need to study everything. Like, I studied all the other religions. Why? What was the purpose? Why are all the different, you know, denominations we had? Because, you know, why?
Well, it doesn't make much sense, does
yeah.
it? When
yeah.
you really look at it, it's mm-hmm. just kind of interesting, crazy stuff. But God got a hold of you.
Yeah, he did.
That's so good. And you were talking about your books. The first one was The Orb of Truth, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I like that book. And I think that's a cool name, the Orb of Truth. And I'm a big Tolkien fan.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love Tolkien. And so it's that kind of a only a little bit even darker, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got that C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien feel to it. So it's just a great adventure of these characters are exploring their destiny, you know, their purpose. What mm-hmm. they're asking those questions. Why are we here? There's something bigger to be in here. And what is the point?
Yeah.
And so they go on this great adventure to actually meet God at the very end. And each one in their own image. So the Lord gave me that because this is a fantasy adventure kind of book. And so a dwarf character would see God as a dwarf, or a human would see God as a human, or an elf as an elf. So they would always meet God in that image, even though he's the same God. And so they he sends them back saying, we want to go back. There's more people that need to know about you. And so they go back.
They go back. And then there's a trilogy that
right.
follows.
We have the Dragon God and then the Vampire King. And I have a fourth book that I've been working on for years, but
what's that one going to be called? Do you know?
Sword of the Elements.
Sword of the Elements.
Yeah.
These are cool. And you can get them on Amazon.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And now, the first book was The Orb of Truth. And now you have 14 books.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. What all have you written about? Well, you've written children's books because I know I have some of those children's books. My grandchildren love
so
them.
So I have 5 children's books. And that started with my grandson, Avery. When he was 4 or 5, he came up to me and said, Grandpa, can you write me a book? Because he had seen The Orb of Truth, The Dragon God, and The Vampire King. And so I said, yes, of course, I can write you a book. And then he left. He was so happy. And I'm like, I started getting perplexed. How am I going to do this? I don't know how to write a children's book. And then the Lord was like, take your characters from your Orb of Truth series and turn them into a children's book. And so I just took the characters and just made up, a single theme story. So the Unfriendly Dragon was the first one. I partnered with a Disney artist that was on our Philippines trip, Seth Weinberg. And so he did all the artwork on that. It was fantastic. And Avery got to see this whole book come to fruition from when I just had the words to then partnering with Seth. And then he got to see the images. And then all of a sudden he has a book. And I'm reading in front of his classmates, and so he got to see this whole process, and I got to have this whole experience with my grandson. And so at that point, as we had more grandchildren, we have 7 now, I want to write a story for each of the grandchildren. So I've completed 5, and I've got 2 more to go, and I'm sure I'll keep going after that. But
I think you should tell them what Avery said now as a 13, almost 14-year-old, reading The Orb of Truth now, that he can read your first
book. Grown-up book.
Yeah, grown-up so he's old enough now that he's reading the grown-up book, the young adult book, Orb of Truth. And he said, Grandpa, this is so amazing. When I'm reading The Orb of Truth, it's like I'm reading, like these are our family, these characters I grew up with.
I grew up with these guys.
And now I'm reading, they're like family to me. And so I was gosh, how characters can take on roles in our lives and bring strong influence.
At the root of everything is the gospel, but you tell it in such a non-cheesy way.
Yes.
I love it because you tell it as an expert storyteller.
Yeah.
You make it interesting and compelling.
Yes.
And I believe that the gospel is that. In scripture, but sometimes our Christian writing makes it almost makes it soggy, but you make it understandable and clear and engaging and by pulling it out of people.
There's an edge to it. When I read, when the other experience I've had with that Christian writing is more fluff. It's just very fluffy.
Maybe that's the word.
It's very fluffy. Like a fluffy bunny. And I'm like, mine are more edgy and sharp, like a sword.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the Sword of Truth is.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue talking about your books because you're not the only author in your family.
No.
So we're going to continue talking about this, but for now we are going to, we're going to close out this episode and continue on with episode 2. So we want to thank you all for joining us. This is Bray and Jill Wyckoff. And what I'd like you to do is, if you could tell people how to find you on the internet, would you just give your websites? And
yeah, you guys can stalk us at KingdomWritersAssociation.com. And our nonprofit organization above Kingdom Writers Association is KingdomCreativityInternational.com.
Okay, so it's Bray and Jill Wyckoff, and this is episode 1. We will have episode 2 coming again soon. So thanks for joining us. I'm Christy Greiner, and this is the Dare to Believe podcast.